Yep. Good morning. Good morning. Whoops, sorry. Welcome to our time of worship together. Both those physically present this morning and those joining us on Zoom who we'll welcome in a moment. But of course we're nearing the end of Lent and drawing closer to celebrating Easter and God's promise of new life in creation and through Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Let me read to you the first lines of a hymn, especially meaningful to me. Lord, you sometimes speak in wonders, in whispers, in silence. Lord, you often speak in Scripture. Lord, you always speak in Jesus. Let's be ready to listen to God in different ways today and in the coming days during this time of Lent as we approach Easter. Let's have an opportunity to say hello to all those joining us on Zoom. Pat and Norman, good to see you. And Christine. And Tina as well, bollocks of it, but yep, okay, wonderful. Good to be able to welcome you. And great to hear that news of Maya as well, Pat and Norman's little granddaughter. So yep, praise God. Right, let's sing now. We're going to sing a couple of songs. The first one is going to be sung, I think, partly in Ukrainian, partly in English, Light of the World. And then we're going to sing another song, Great Are You, Lord. So we're going to be helped by Andrei and Arena and Prince for all this, as well as our regular musicians. That's right, yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see the beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, all for our sake became to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. And I'll ever know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. I never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're all together worthy, all together wonderful to me.
Praise the Lord, yeah.
You may like to sit down for this one, because I don't think you're familiar with this song. This is a new one that's being introduced that we'll sing for you. Well, at least Prince and Andrew will sing for us.
You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness. You give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only.
It's a simple song, church. Can you join us to sing? Let's go.
You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness. You give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord.
Is that simple? Let's go.
And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only.
Pour our praise to you only.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, yeah.
Let's spend a few moments in quiet as we come before the Lord now to reflect upon what we've been singing, as we reflect upon the week that we've been through. And let's just remind ourselves the Lord has been with us every step of the way this week. Heavenly Father, we praise and worship you. We thank you for your many promises to us. We thank you for that promise that you are with us always. Thank you, Lord, that as we come to you, we can come as we are, with everything that's on our hearts and minds at this time. We can come in confidence, we can come trusting you, your unfailing love for each one of us and for all creation. And Lord, we come this morning thinking and praying of for the people of Ukraine, the people of Gaza, many people in desperate need in our world. Thank you that you are Lord over the nations, that you have plans and purposes, good plans and purposes for our nation, for our world, plans for a hope and a future, plans for peace and life everlasting. We thank you, Lord. Amen. Earlier this month, lots of people were celebrating World Wildlife Day. It's an annual special event to encourage us all to think about the amazing animals we share our world with. So I thought I'd share this short extract from a video that's recently been produced by the Baptist Union Environmental Network. And this is a network headed by the Reverend Dave Gregory, who was minister at Cruxley Green, just along the road, until fairly recently, not that long ago, but he became Baptist Union president. He's now moved on to a wider ministry, and he's preached here at Carey, of course, previously, on one of our church anniversaries, I think. So I'll show this video because it has pictures of a number of God's creatures, and we worship the God of creation, of all creation, and the wonder of his creation. And just as our wonderful tech team are getting this video queued up for us, let me remind you of the opening verse of one of the Bible readings we'll be going to think about later in the service. This is from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 10. To the Lord your God belong the heavens, even the highest heavens, the earth and everything in it. Let's watch this video, which is part of a series which has been sent.
The Bible story begins with God creates with their own. An ancient song in the Bible asks of God, "When I consider the moon, which you set in place, what are humans that you're mindful of them?" In Lucian's story, his lunar traveller looked back, contemplating life on Earth. And we too, from the moon, glimpsed more of the magnificence of life. For when those first astronauts reached the moon, they looked back towards our home, the Earth, a world they could hold in their fingers, hanging ablaze in the blackness of space above the sterile barrenness of the moon, a planet full of vibrant color, blue, brown, green, and white, a world teeming with life. My name's Dave Gregory. I'm a church minister with a background and passion for God's gift of science. And in this series, we want to reawaken you to the wondrous world that is around us, to take a fresh look at our rich, full, and yet fragile world, a world teeming with life, from the heat of the tropical rainforests to the icy wastes of the poles, in the dryness of deserts to the depths of the oceans and up into the tenuous clouds, a wondrous, playful menagerie that's been opened up to us through those amazing nature documentaries on our televisions or on our mobile phones, a vast community of life which shapes us in ways that science is only just revealing, and in which we play our part, yet not always in ways that leads to life in all its fullness. A world that gives us life in which our lives is woven perhaps more than we know, even entwined with the playfulness and the being of God. So come and join the journey, looking at our world and perhaps beyond it.
Wants to restore it, to give us beauty for brokenness. So we're going to sing our next song, Beauty for Brokenness, Hope for Despair.
Thank you.
Amen. In a moment, the children and young people are going to go to their own groups. But before that, we're going to continue our worship as we take up our morning offering. And just to say that actually, if there's any visitors here this morning, perhaps here for the first time, please don't feel obliged to give to this offering. It's an offering for the work of the church. So, thank you. Please stand. Sunrise to sunset, your kingdom increase. Heavenly Father, we offer ourselves, our lives to you at the same time as bringing these gifts and gifts given in other ways. And we pray that together, like the mighty oak tree, our lives would be for the display of your splendor. We pray this too for our children and young people and their leaders as they go to their groups now. In the name of Jesus, amen. Rounding up Caleb and Joshua, that's great, wonderful. Okay, right, I think Kathleen is going to bring us our notices this morning. Thank you, Kathleen.
Morning, well, lots of dates for you, so please, as usual, pick up one of these and you can see everything that's going to be happening over the next couple of weeks. I'm just going to point out a couple of important things. I thought of an idea, maybe I should get one of these bells for the important announcements. Hear ye, hear ye. So, church meeting and the AGM part two will take place on Wednesday the 22nd, is that two? That's with my glasses, or is it?
Oh, hang on. It's not the 22nd, is it? It's right, 27th, that's right, yes.
27th,
that's right, yes.
Right,
yes.
Yeah. Fallen at the first hurdle. Right. Wednesday the 27th, church meeting and AGM. Yeah, so that's important. The next one, Palm Sunday, the 24th of March, straight after the service, we want to have a meeting of all the members and friends of Carey to discuss a proposal for the future funding of Carey's children's, youth and families workers. So that's quite important. There will be refreshments and we're not asking you to stay too long after the service. Hopefully it will finish about 1 p.m, which is, I guess, near the time that you finish usually after your coffee and cake. That's all I'm going to mention. And Colin is going to talk now about Easter Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yes, it's a kind of warning and a question, is this notice. The warning is that, of course, this year, clocks go forward on Easter Sunday morning. Okay, so just to bear that in mind. Okay, that's right. Yep, so that's worth bearing in mind. But that kind of has a bearing on what the next thing I'm going to say. We were originally planning to have to try and hold a sunrise service in the park that morning, and then have a kind of a breakfast, very simple breakfast, an Easter breakfast here afterwards, before we can begin Sunday morning worship. But I'm just wondering how many people might be likely to turn up for a 6:30 in the morning, a start on Easter Sunday. I mean, we might look to try and do this another year, but I'm just wondering if any takers for an Easter Sunday sunrise service this morning. We have, I know, one or two, okay, yeah, excellent, right, okay, yeah, so there's one or two there, okay. Well, I think we might have to do a bit more work on that and maybe leave it till next year, and hopefully the clocks won't be going forward that morning as well, so yeah, I'm sure that'll help. But yeah, we'll try and give more time as well for people to think about it and prepare for it. But this Easter Sunday, we'll be starting our service as usual, 10:30. Hopefully next year we'll have an Easter Sunday service. Thanks, that's wonderful. Okay, I think Shami is going to read to us our first reading from Deuteronomy chapter 10. Thanks, Shami.
Morning, church. Morning. The word of God is taken from the book of Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses from 14 to 22. That could be found in church Bible. Page 189. So Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses from 14 to 22. To the Lord your God belong the heavens and the highest heavens, the earth and everything in it. Yet the Lord set his affection on your ancestors and loved them. And he chose you, their descendants, above all nations, as it is today. Circumcise your hearts, therefore, and do not be stiff-necked any longer. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality and accepts no bribes. He defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow and loves the foreigner residing among you, giving them food and clothing. And you are to love those who are foreigners, for you yourselves are forgiven. You yourselves were foreigners in Egypt. Fear the Lord your God and serve him. Hold fast to him and take your oaths in his name. He is your praise. He is your God who performed for you those great and awesome wonders you saw with your own eyes. Your ancestors who went down into Egypt were 70 in all, and now the Lord your God has made you as numerous as the stars in the sky. Praise be to God.
Amen. Thank you, Shami. Thanks for getting the next reading up as well. That's right. Okay, good stuff. Our Father God, thy name we praise. Andrew's going to play our organ for us for the first time in quite a while, actually. This is our organ being played, so it's good to have Andrew with us to play the organ for us. Our Father God, thy name we praise. Let's stand and sing. Obed is now going to bring us our second reading. This is from the Gospel of Luke. Thank you, Obed.
Our second reading is taken from Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, starting from verse 51 to when we end at verse 58. Samaritan opposition. As the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. And he sent messenger on ahead, who went into a Samaritan village to get things ready for him. But the people there did not welcome him because he was heading for Jerusalem. When the disciples James and John saw this, they asked, "Lord, do you want us to call fire down from heaven to destroy them?" But Jesus turned and rebuked them. Then he and his disciple went to another village. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Herbert. My talk this morning is entitled "Rejected, Homeless, Our Man of Sorrows." Now, he's been called Bill Bryson on two wheels. Tim Moore has written a number of books about his travels on a bike, all very funny, and here's one of them, "The Cyclist Who Went Out in the Cold." It's about him tracing the line of the Iron Curtain, as it was, between Europe and the former Soviet Union. Actually, the longest ride he's ever done. And somehow, and for reasons best known to himself, Tim undertakes this journey on an old model of an East German shopping bike. A tiny bike with two gears and hardly any brakes. And Tim squeezes every ounce of comedy out of the ridiculous figure he looks in the face of the wilderness and the variety of human cultures and languages he meets on his travels. But the reason I mention this book is that in his journeys, Tim crosses many international frontiers. At some frontiers, he's simply waved through or virtually ignored. But at other crossing points, he is subjected to the closest scrutiny and the most thorough searches of the contents of his panniers and his person. Which brings me to my first point about our story from Luke chapter 9. We all have to be careful when crossing borders or boundaries. Jesus sent some messengers ahead into a Samaritan village on this occasion. But at some point, they obviously crossed an invisible line, a boundary. And the people there did not welcome Jesus. Why so? Because Jesus was traveling on to Jerusalem. He had crossed an invisible red line for many Samaritans who had their own holy place elsewhere to Jerusalem. So this was a red line for many of those Samaritans in that village. Where are our red lines, I wonder? As we near the end of this season of Lent, it seems appropriate to me for us to spend some time reflecting upon this aspect of Jesus' ministry ahead of his last fateful week in Jerusalem. By this point, Jesus was already well acquainted, very well acquainted, with rejection, with being treated as a non-person. After all, his family were forced to become refugees in Egypt shortly after Jesus was born. And right at the beginning of his ministry, Jesus experienced rejection at the hands of the people of his hometown, Nazareth. He crossed a red line when he was speaking to them. And they felt, who was he to talk about God choosing people outside of the expected and respectable family of God? Jesus was no longer treated by them as someone worthy of attention, rather seen as someone worthy of death. No surprise then, as we turn to Luke 9, this very next exchange in Luke 9, after he's been rejected by the Samaritan village, is Jesus going on to talk about himself as someone who was effectively homeless. Foxes have dens, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He had hoped to be able to lay his head in the home of someone in that Samaritan village, But instead, he was going to have to find somewhere else to sleep that night. He was someone always looking for refuge, but never quite sure where he was going to find it. So here's a challenge for us all. If we think of Jesus in terms of himself being a refugee, I would encourage us, whenever we read about refugees or meet a refugee, we need to see Jesus, the person of Jesus, in their place. Jesus himself was the ultimate alien and stranger in this world because he traveled the greatest distance from heaven to earth. And like the millions of refugees in our world today, Jesus personally understands the experience of being unwelcome, of being treated like a bad smell. Either just because of who he was, where he was from on earth, or because he had the courage to speak truth to power. Let's try ourselves to face the truth today, shall we? Here is one simple truth. We're all refugees from somewhere. Look at me, I'm a refugee from Yorkshire, for goodness sake. I still remember how I felt like a fish out of water when I moved from up north to Royal Tunbridge Wells, no less. But on a more serious note, many of us here would be surprised about our true origins. If all of us here were to take DNA tests, it's amazing what a genetic mix we might discover. Likely that most of us would encounter DNA we did not expect to find within ourselves. That said, here is an equally important truth. There probably aren't many people here who've been forced to leave their homes for the sake of the safety and health of yourself and your family. Not many people have been forced to leave. There may be people here who have known the experience, but I won't ask you to raise your hands this morning. You see, until you've had to make the impossible decision about leaving your homeland, it's impossible to understand what today's refugees are going through. Now, no doubt we're all aware of the current ding-dong in the Houses of Parliament over the government's Rwanda bill. Now, I'm not going to get all political here. That's the last thing many of us want to hear. You may feel you come to church to get away from all this. But the thing is, we cannot get away from what God said to his people about how they should treat aliens and strangers in the land of Israel. This passage in Deuteronomy 10 is a very profound challenge to the current approach our government is taking to the immigration crisis. God not only says that he loves the foreigner among you, God clothes them by feeding them, looks after them by feeding them and clothing them. And the Lord goes on to say to his people, you yourselves were foreigners previously. Therefore, you should understand the plight of the refugee. You should not take the approach of making aliens feel unwelcome and treating them as if they were non-people. No doubt some will object that we are talking today about a problem on a much bigger scale. And I do hear that. The fears of people native to Britain are therefore bigger, the argument goes. Sadly, our political leaders are seeking to make political capital out of these legitimate fears in this election year. But let's name some of these fears now, shall we? It's helpful to name the fears and bring them out into the light of the Lord. Here's some of them. The fear that immigrants, people from outside, will not integrate. Our communities will become increasingly divided, leading to violence and evil civil war. The opposite fear of people getting on too well and there being too much of a genetic melting pot. The fear of national financial ruin, of there not being enough to go round. The fear that native Britons will not be able to find jobs or housing. There is this general fear of Britain being swamped and overwhelmed and becoming too overpopulated. What does God have to say to these fears and others? I think God would say, do not be afraid. This phrase occurs, I believe, 366 times in the Bible. So every day, including in a leap year like this, God encourages us not to let our fears overwhelm us. God would say in the words of Jesus, treat other people as you yourself would like to be treated. And pray for those people you consider to be your enemies. Jesus also said, the poor you will always have with you. We're always going to have this faces challenge of how are we going to respond to the poor amongst us. To repeat what I said earlier, Whenever you see a refugee, try to see Jesus in their place instead. And try to see yourself in the shoes of that refugee. If you're serious about this kind of exercise of your imagination, then you might want to watch a film like The Swimmers. It's called Swimmers. It's the story of two sisters from Syria, why they came to Europe and what they went through to get here. Swimmers, very moving story of just two refugees. Something that is too often overlooked in any discussion of the immigration crisis is this. Western nations have themselves contributed to this crisis. The UK itself has made a significant contribution to what we see unfolding today. Are you surprised at me saying this? Well, you shouldn't be. You shouldn't be. Two more truths, if you can stomach them. Firstly, Western nations have concentrated wealth in Europe and the US, so it should be no surprise to us that desperate people from desperately poor nations should want to come here. Of course, there is the extra point that it's not just about money, it's about people needing to escape oppressive governments and regimes, and the UK and other nations have long prided themselves on being lands of freedom. That's part of the picture as well. But secondly, and this is important, the UK and other wealthier nations have contributed more than most to our unfolding climate emergency, which is also contributing hugely to the immigration crisis. Now, I realize that neither of these truths are particularly good news. Nonetheless, truths that our government and we too need to hear. Let's finish with good news, shall we? Jesus, the ultimate refugee, is different from all refugees. Jesus left a perfectly good home. Though he was rich, he became a homeless refugee for us. Though he was Lord of Lords, he became a servant for us. What an example of self-giving love we are called to follow. This Lent, we need again to ask God's Spirit to help us follow Jesus. Amen. Our next hymn reflects upon the theme of my talk, Man of Sorrows, a very well-known Easter and Lent hymn. Man of Sorrows, what a name, for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Alleluia, what a Saviour. Let's stand and sing.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Let us pray together. These prayers are entitled A Fairer World. Let's pray. Almighty and all-powerful God, we pray to you for the weak and powerless of the world, those who yearn for change, but who can find no opportunity to help themselves. Lord of all, reach out in love, we pray. We pray for those in our own society, the homeless and unemployed, the disabled, sick and mentally ill, those caught up in circumstances beyond their control and who feel unable to cope with the problems of life. Lord of all, reach out in love, we pray. We pray for those in other countries and continents, the poor, underprivileged, hungry and dispossessed, those who are persecuted for their beliefs or have been driven from their homelands as refugees, those whose labour is exploited or whose livelihoods have been destroyed by famine, disaster or war. Lord of all, reach out in love, we pray. Almighty and all-powerful God, give strength to everyone who is powerless, strength to survive, to hope, and to work for a better future. Give help to those who campaign for freedom, for peace, and for a more just world. Grant that those who are strong may help those who are weak, so that the voice of all may be heard, and the rights of every individual be respected. Lord of all, reach out in love, we pray. And Heavenly Father, we bring before you those who have been in our prayers and on our minds recently. And we thank you for the answered prayers we have seen recently, for the successful heart operation for Pat Norman's great-granddaughter, Maya, in Austria, for example. We thank you, Lord, that our prayers can span the world in an even more instantaneous way than the internet. So we pray for our mission, BMS mission partners in Bangladesh, Peter and Louise Lynch, especially in this year as they await the renewal of their passports and visa, so they can stay in the country they have grown to love. We pray for the people of Bangladesh. And we pray for Peter and Louise as they interview people to be sent to new areas of work in this vast and teeming country. We thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayers, both spoken and unspoken. Let's collect our and gather up our prayers now as we say together the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Our closing hymn celebrates the truth that we belong to an international family of God. In Christ there is no east or west. just before I give the blessing, just to encourage you, you may want to come and join us for tea or coffee and biscuits afterwards, after the service, in the hall around at the rear here. It'd be wonderful to see you. But may God bless you with the quiet whisper, which in all the days going and toing and froing, keeps a calm, silent center in your being. May you all be filled with Christ by the Holy Spirit of God. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.